Loving God, it is with great rejoicing that we come before you, knowing that your steadfast love and faithfulness, your loving kindness and truth endures forever. We praise you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to still gather together even amidst the pandemic. And while there are countries wherein gathering together is illegal, we rejoice all the more, Lord, for this beautiful time that you will refresh us, beautiful time that you would embrace all of us with your truth. Your word is truth. Yet, Lord, we know that as we come before you, as we have read a while ago, that you are as a father who knows his children very well, that we are frail and we are just but dust. We come to you with all our concerns, we come to you with all our anxieties, asking you, Lord, to help us, Lord, focus more on you and not on ourselves. May we decrease right now and you increase as we worship you in the preaching of your word. We pray that you would encourage us. We pray that you would edify us. We pray that you would rebuke us. We pray that you would comfort us. This is our prayer with much thanksgiving. In Christ's most precious and mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Magandang umaga sa lahat. Good morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles with you, turn your Bibles to Psalm 18 and you would be surprised that it's 29 verses. We're not going to read it now. We're going to read it as we study. But again, it is just wonderful to be finishing up the Egyptian Hallel. Ito na po yung last na psalm sa collection ng songs called the Egyptian Hallel. And we know that they are called the Egyptian Hallel because they are a collection of songs that the Jews sing during the Passover. Two of which, some say three, are sang before the Passover dinner. The remaining are sang after dinner. And in God's providence, we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper today. The full expression of God's great love to those who would believe in Him. The Passover Lamb who takes away the sins of those who believe in Him will be celebrated today, His person and His work. Pero bago tayo pumunta sa Psalm 118, I hope you do have your Bibles. Let me ask you to go to Matthew first. I want for us to look at the Passion Week of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Kasi we are celebrating the Lord's Supper, and when we talk about the Lord's Supper, we cannot divorce that with the Passion Week. And the Passion Week starts with a triumphal entry hanggang sa ipako sa krus si Kristo. Go to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Here we see the account of the triumphal entry. And in verse 9, we hear the crowds shout out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." If you are using the New American Standard Bible, you would notice that this phrase is capitalized. Lahat siya capital letters. Telling us that the translator wants you to know that this was a direct quote. This was taken from an Old Testament passage. And this, in fact, is from Psalm 118. Yung phrase na, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," is found in Psalm 118. Now, talking about the Passion Week of the Lord Jesus Christ, Mark's Gospel said that after entering in the city, the next day, the following day, we would see Jesus going to the temple to cleanse the temple a second time. Yung cleansing ng temple would be found in Matthew 21 pa rin, verse 12 to 17. We know what happened there, right? Kinastigo ng Panginoong Diyos ang maling panukala sa pananambahan ng mga Hudyo. And therefore, we see the religious leaders were so furious against him, right? And on the third day of his Passion Week, we see sa 21, Matthew 21, verse 18, in the morning, so we have 3 days already. The first day of the Passion Week, we hear the people shout out, "Hosanna to the King of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna!" Quoted from Psalm 118. Now, on the third day, we see Jesus having a discourse, an argument with the religious leaders, particularly the Sadducees, right? And he would be telling them a set of parables to confront them, to judge them. If you go to verse 42 ng chapter 21, we read this. Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." And again, if you're using the New American Standard Bible, it is capitalized, telling us that this was taken from an Old Testament passage. Guess where this was taken from? Psalm 118. At yung point na ginagawa ni Kristo, the point that Jesus was making is that since you are rejecting me, God will then judge you. One more passage, Matthew 23. As the confrontation continues, in Matthew 23, we would see the seven woes, yung maanghang na pangungusap ni Kristo sa mga ipokritong Pharisees. The seven woes, right? Still on the Passion Week, right? On the third day, we see the seven woes. Notice verse 37 as he concludes the chapter. "O Jerusalem," says Jesus, "Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones, those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Verse 39 again, if you're using the New American Standard, is capitalized, telling us it's from the Old Testament and it's from Psalm 118. The same phrase that we heard from the people as Jesus was entering the city. Psalm 118, as we notice, was quoted 3 times in the Passion Week of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it was clearly in the heart of Jesus days before he offered himself to die as a ransom for many, a ransom for those who would believe in him. Matthew 26, isa pang gospel passage. Matthew 26, starting from verse 30. Here we see, as in Matthew 26, we would see Jesus celebrating the last Passover Supper. Why was it the last? Because he is converting the Passover Supper, instituting the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. Look at verse 30, Matthew 26, 30. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." Ano kaya yung kinanta nila? What could have been that hymn? As we have been learning since we started this series, we know that these songs are being sung by the Jews every year during the Passover. The people who were shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," are very aware of the messianic undertones of their proclamation. Thus, we see the religious leaders being so furious. Ano kaya ang posibleng kinanta ng Panginoong Jesus that may have ministered to his heart moments before his arrest? What comfort must have this been for the Lord Jesus Christ? And that is, I believe, Psalm 118. Psalm 118 was in the heart of Jesus, quoted numerous times in the Passover week, and you would see the significance of this beautiful song as we study this psalm together. Before we begin, let me just share with you some interesting thoughts about Psalm 118. Kung papansin niyo sa Bible niyo, ang Psalm 118 is sandwiched, is in between the shortest chapter and the longest chapter. Psalm 117, the shortest chapter in the whole Psalter. Psalm 119, by the way, we'll be looking at Psalm 119 2 weeks from now. The longest chapter in the whole Bible. That is not coincidence. And did you know, people, scholars have tried to divide the Bible exactly in half. Guess what the middle verses are in the Bible? Psalm 118, particularly verse 8 and verse 9, telling us it is blessed to be trusting in the Lord than in men. Right? Now we already have mentioned, ito'y awit ng mga Hudyo as they celebrate the Passover, as they commemorate God's redemptive activity, rescuing them from Egypt. We don't know who wrote the psalm. Wala nakalagay eh. But some scholars believe that, as we would look later, it seems like the one who wrote this is royalty. It may be a prince. It may be a king. Some even say it may be David. And that is beautiful. Telling us that this is not just a Egyptian Hallel, it can also be referred to as a royal psalm, which accords with its messianic nature. One final observation. Tingnan niyo yung Bible niyo ulit. 29 verses. You see the repeated mention of Yahweh, the name of the Lord, almost in all verses. Telling us that this song, this beautiful song that was in the heart of Jesus, moments before He was arrested, days before He was crucified, is a song between Yahweh and His special personal relationship with the writer, with His people, highlighting for us the steadfast love of the Lord. Again, 29 verses, so we will be moving fast. Don't worry. And salamat na lang, walang second service. Kala nyo, last week, di ba? Maiksi. So, before we begin, let me share with you what we will be doing today. Yes, we would like to know the authorial intent. What was on the heart of the writer? What was he trying to say to his readers? What can we glean as timeless truths and principles that we can apply to our own Christian life? But we have seen how significant this psalm is with regards to Christ. We would also look as to how this applies, or as to how this connects with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we would have two perspectives, two vantage points about the psalm, looking at the authorial intent and looking at how this have touched and ministered to the heart of Jesus. You have your outlines in your bulletins. Today, as we look at Psalm 119, we will look at the psalmist's melody. We'll also be looking at the Messiah's doxology. We would be having seven movements, seven sections, seven headings. And we will again be very, very brief. Verse 1 to 4, we would see the sincere devotion. Verse 5 to 9, in contrast to this devotion, we would see severe distress. Severe distress coming from the surrounding danger. Verse 10 to 14. In light of this struggle, we would see and hear the conviction of this writer, because he knows who his sure defense is. That is found in verse 15 to 18. And having seen and known who his defense is, we would see him shout out and express to us his supreme delight. Supreme delight, 19:21. Verse 20 to 27, you would see the sovereign deliverance, telling us who is the one who really saved him. And then we end this psalm with a strong doxology, verse 28 to 29. Right? Very quickly now, let's look at the first heading. Let me turn my Bible to Psalm 118. Look at verse 1 to 4. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His steadfast love endures forever. Have you noticed the call to worship written and amplified by this writer? Here we see thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving and praise. Unto who? Unto God, unto Yahweh, the faithful one. On account of His loving kindness. And it says there, it is eternal. It would endure forever. Friends, it is on the account of God's chesed, of God's faithful love, steadfast love, that God looks with favor to those who don't deserve it. To those who don't deserve it. The heart of the psalmist, as he reflects on these attributes of God, anong nangyari sa kanya? The natural reaction and response is to praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And that call is not just to the Israelites, not just to Israel, not just to the Levites, the priests, not just to Aaron, the house of Aaron. It also goes beyond them. It extends to us who fear the Lord. It's so easy for us to complain and grumble and be anxious. But if we would only focus on God's loving kindness, it would be natural for us to be giving thanks, to be praising God. Why? Because His loving kindness endures forever. Remember, in the Bible, repetition is amplification. Repetition is emphasis. Not only the Israelites, not only the Levites, but everyone who fears the Lord. If only we are mindful of what we deserve and what we are receiving, our complaints, our grumbling, our anxiety. I know we live in the pandemic. We are not certain until when are we going to be wearing face masks or wearing face shields. But if we would focus on how God has saved you in spite of you, how God has showered on us what we don't deserve, withholding what we deserve, we would just praise the Lord. The call to worship by the writer. But again, then again, paano kaya ito nakatulong kay Kristo? How would these words resonated in the heart of Jesus? Let me ask you then. When would we see, or where would we see the ultimate expression of God's steadfast love? Is it not on the cross? Diba? As Jesus sings this song, anticipating His imminent death, imagine Him singing these songs. These songs that reflected on God's loving kindness, on His own love to those who would believe in Him. It is in that Passion Week that we would hear Jesus in the upper room tell His disciples, no greater love is there than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends. John 15. In fact, it went beyond that. As we go to Romans, What did Paul say? While we were yet sinners, while we were still his enemies, while we were helpless, Christ died for us. Friends, we are the beneficiaries of that loving kindness. And the only reason why we are here is because of that. Never forget that. Focus on that. Kahit ano mangyari, ever regardless. So like the writer, we would just easily be praising the Lord. It's just a matter of perspective, dear ones. Sabi ni Pablo, Christ loved the church and gave His life for her. Sabi ni Apostle Juan, we love Him because He first loved us. So I pray just like the writer, we are bursting with thanks. We are bursting with praise. Kahit ano mangyari. Because we have every reason to give thanks and to shout out praise. Because God's loving kindness is everlasting. It would go beyond the pandemic. In fact, it would go beyond your life. As we celebrate being with Him forever. And that powerful truth of God's loving kindness is amplified beautifully later on as we remember the love of God in the Lord's table. This leads us to the next heading. First heading, shouts of praise. But when you go to the next heading, we see some kind of contrast here. Sincere devotion, now we see severe distress. And that is just staggering. He was praising the Lord amid severe distress. Listen to the psalmist as he shares with us his deep anguish. Look at verse 5 to 7. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. Again, friends, we see here the writer, even amidst struggles, even amidst distress, placing his trust in this beautiful, awesome, faithful God. Trusting that God would rescue him from his distress. Look at verse 6 to 7 again. Doesn't it sound like a passage from the New Testament? Diba? Parang si Pablo, diba? If God is for me, who can be against me? That is the resolve, not just of Paul, but the writer as well, even amidst his distress. Even amidst his distress. These verses that the writer penned has a very clear message para sa atin. Kahit anong mangyari, magtiwala sa Diyos. Even when it's so hard to do that, to trust God and not in men. To trust God in times of distress. And this is the theme, di ba, ng salvation plan ng Diyos? Ang theme ng salvation plan ng Diyos is for man to not save him, his own self. Because on our own, we cannot. The redemptive plan of God is God rescuing you from utter depravity. And again, we see the distress that this writer has expressed. I wonder how this relates to Jesus Christ. How these verses have meant to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember in Matthew 26, Jesus foretold as he was in agony, Matthew 26, we would hear him sing a hymn. Then he foretold that his disciples would desert him. they will all fall away. And after that, if you are looking at your Bible, Matthew 26, what happens? They would travel through the Mount of Olives, and then they would go to the Garden of Gethsemane. There we will see Jesus praying in anguish. In fact, he would cry out to his Father in great distress, and he will sweat, listen, drops of blood, while his disciples struggle to pray, let alone struggle to stay awake. A few moments later, we would hear of steps coming from a group of soldiers to be betrayed by a kiss from a close associate. And just as Jesus foretold, his disciples left him. I was just trying to imagine how it must have felt for Jesus. Clearly, in anticipation of his sacrifices, these words may have resonated in his heart. The severe distress that he was going through. But his hope was not in man, not even his disciples, his followers, his friends. His hope was in God. Therefore, he could say, "My God is on my side. I will not fear. My Father is for me. Who can be against me?" You see how beautiful this song is? It's not just talking about the writer. But as we reflect as how Jesus sang these songs as he was anticipating his crucifixion, I pray deep in my heart that you are being gripped by gratitude to worship the Lord all the more. This leads us to the next section. Sincere devotion, severe distress. Bakit may severe distress? Because of the surrounding danger that was in the life of the writer. Look at verse 10 to 14. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard, so I was falling. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Again, hindi natin alam sinong sumulat nito. Anong background? When was this written? Ano nangyari sa kanya? And again, since we said that this may be a royal psalm written by a king, this may have been written during a time of battle. Maybe amidst a great battle. Napansin niyo yung drama? Notice the dramatic language that the writer used to describe the barrage that he was facing amidst this difficulty. They surrounded me, mentioned four times. There is no earthly means of escape. Sabi yan, his enemies were like bees. Hindi lang bees. They were swarming him from every side. Maybe it's a battle between his kingdom and a number of kingdoms. Maybe he was seeing the attacks from both sides, every side. And he was overwhelmed. They were like bees. They were like thorns, para daw mga tinik, with the intent to hurt and with the intent to entangle. And do you notice that he was so overwhelmed that he felt like he was falling down? He felt like he was falling down. But the Lord helped him. Therefore, the Lord is his strength and the Lord is his song. The Lord has become his salvation. Because his hope is in the Lord, God will deliver him, says the psalmist. And he will be given victory. There is no hope. There is no earthly escape, but there is heavenly rescue. And dear ones, let us not forget that, especially in trying times, diba? Especially in difficult times, just like the psalmist, we all have those. Yung mga pagkakataon na gipit na gipit na, and I'm not just talking about financial difficulties. How God has ministered to you amidst a difficult situation. Just like the psalmist, we should be looking at God in difficult times. We should be embracing God in these struggling times. But again, this section is not just about the writer. This section is not just about us as we glean timeless truths. We heard, we've seen numerous passages that this was indeed in the heart of Jesus. As we ponder on how God reflected on these songs as he was anticipating his death, you would hear the significance and the power of this song. Jesus was in Gethsemane. He was praying. He was praying in agony. And after praying, he was surrounded by soldiers. Was he not? And then he was surrounded by angry religious leaders in a bogus illegal trial at the house of the high priest. He was surrounded by Roman guards in Pilate's house. Some actually beat him up. Diba? Almost left him for dead. And while he was hanging on the cross, he was surrounded by angry mobs mocking at him. The same ones who were crying out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They were the same ones who said, "Crucify him." And while he was hanging on the cross, he was surrounded by these people mocking him. Kagaya nung writer, he was surrounded. Yet through it all, he entrusted himself to his Heavenly Father, knowing fully well that victory was guaranteed. Pwede naman siyang lumaban, di ba? Kaya niya yun. But no, he would not do that. He would just resort the most effective thing to do. To entrust himself to the Heavenly Father. Ganito in-explain ni Peter yon, as he entrusted himself to God while he was hanging on the cross. 1 Peter chapter 2. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. The psalmist entrusted himself to God in the midst of surrounding danger, in the midst of his suffering. And the Lord Jesus Christ exemplified that to perfection as he perfectly was obedient even until death, even the death on the cross. Sincere devotion, severe distress caused by surrounding danger. This leads us to the next heading. The psalmist overcame his distress because he knows that God was his sure defense. Look at verse 15 to 18 again. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Though the writer was surrounded by his enemies, he was victorious, not because of any human help, but because the Lord was fighting on his behalf. Because God was his sure defense. And therefore, he fears no enemy. Wala siyang takot sa kahit kanino. In fact, he has no fear even of death. I will not die, says the writer. What confidence. And I ask, why does he have confidence? Why should you have confidence in the Lord? Because God was his sure defense, and it was highlighted to us by the repeated phrase, mighty hand, mighty hand, mighty hand. You notice that right hand? In biblical language, right hand is the dominant hand. Powerful hand. Telling us that God indeed is our sure defense because he is mighty and able to save. He was surrounded. Did you see the picture that he was using? Like swarming bees. Hinabol na ba kayo ng bubuyog? Isa pa nga lang, natatakot na nga ako eh. Marami pa. So, with that picture, death was so close. But the Lord delivered this king. And his response? He will joyfully proclaim what the Lord has done. And friends, none of this happened by accident and without a purpose. Thus we see this king valiantly saying in verse 18, "The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death." The suffering was severe. But he knows that it may be God's purpose for him to be drawn to his knees. For him to know who to trust more. Would he trust in men? Would he trust in himself? Would he trust in his own men? And again, I can't help but really pause and have a hard time swallowing because of the lump. Because I can't help but think of how this was in the heart of Jesus Christ. As he reflects on this, I will not die, but Jesus died. Yet there he was nailed to the cross. He was there and dying slowly. But he looked beyond the cross, looking forward to the joy set before him, rising from the grave on the third day to rescue and ransom those who would believe in him. Verse 18 tells us, looking at the authorial intent, that the writer seems to say, God is sovereign, and in his sovereignty, he may have been using this situation, these distresses, these enemies to discipline me severely. But I know he will not give me over to death. This was just for me to be driven to my knees and to worship and trust him. But I can't help but look at that verse. It's packed with gospel truth. Jesus read this. Jesus sang this. This was on his heart. But unlike the psalmist, Jesus indeed suffered the Father's severe discipline, but not because of his own sins. He was spotless. He was blameless. As he was nailed on the cross, We know that laid on His shoulders were the sins of those who would believe in Him. The suffering was severe. That He cried out while hanging on the cross, my God, why have You forsaken Me? But as we look at the first gospel, Isaiah 53, we read that it pleased the Father to crush Him. Because though He knew no sin, He was made sin for us so that we would be made the righteousness of God in Him. Yes, the discipline was severe as a sacrifice for sins, yet He would not be given over to death in defeat. Two things that I want you to embrace here. Talking about Jesus Christ, yes, He was disciplined, but not for His sins. For your sins. For my sins. Yet He would not be given over to death in defeat. No. He would conquer death. Rising again, He defeated death once and for all, removing both its sting, removing its fear. I think this is the best point, the best place for me to pause and ask you, do you know this Savior? Do you know Him who was crucified yet rose again? Have you trusted in Him? Will you surrender to Him? And to those of us who claim and profess to be believers, would you live for Him? Would you praise Him even amid severe distress because of surrounding danger? Because we know we have that resolve. Even though we can't understand that, He is our sure defense. And if He wills for us to die here, we would be with Him forever. I pray deep in my heart that as we listen to this very beautiful song, our love for Christ is all the more great. Sana mas iniibig natin ang ating Panginoon Diyos. Sincere devotion, verse 1 to 4. Severe distress, verse 5 to 9. Caused by surrounding danger. And yet the writer never loses hope because he was certain that God was his sure defense. Thus we read in verse 19 to 21, supreme delight. Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank You that You have answered me and have become my salvation. Having been delivered from danger, having been rescued from His enemies who was surrounding Him, we see Him expressing supreme delight as He enters the gate of the Lord. Ano kaya yon? Perhaps the temple? Because He wanted to worship God? Maybe a reference to the temple as He goes there to worship God in thanksgiving? Pansin ninyo yung pinanggalingan. Notice the source of joy of the psalmist. And there are two. He was praising God because God answered him. He was praising God because God has become his salvation. God answered him and God has rescued him. Thus we see him entering the temple, resolved to praise the Lord. I like what Derek Kidner wrote about this. Derek Kidner observes, the battle was single-handed. The victory was shared. The battle was single-handed. The victory was shared. His battle was fought for him by the Lord, yet victory was shared with him. And as a response, we see him now joyfully entering the temple, perhaps with a thanksgiving offering, to praise the Lord. To praise the Lord. Ganon din tayo dapat. Ganon din dapat. We should not fail to thank the Lord. We should not fail to praise the Lord because God will answer us. He has answered, diba, in the past, and for sure He will answer. And God is our salvation. But again, it's so staggering to look at this verse, to look at this song, and to know that like the psalmist, Jesus knew, alam ni Cristo, that victory was divinely guaranteed. And like the psalmist, he knew that he will enter victoriously in the glorious presence of his Father. Nalalang yung sinabi ni Cristo while he was hanging on the cross with the thief, "This day, thou shalt be with me in paradise." Not later. Right this very moment. He was saying, you already are a citizen of God's kingdom. Hebrews 12, verse 3. Who, Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Can you see Jesus hanging on the cross? As his life is fading away, the Lamb of God, Jesus, finishes his earthly ministry without any spot or blemish, so that he could say with strong convictions, "It is finished." And having conquered sin and death, Jesus would enter triumphantly through the gates of heavenly glory, through the gate of the Lord, through the gate of the righteous, as the one who is perfect. The perfect righteous Lamb, He alone has the right to enter that gate on His own merit. But for us sinners, how can we pass through that gate? But thanks be to God, we can. We can. Because we are robed by His righteousness. When we believed, His righteousness was reckoned as ours. So as Jesus was dying on the cross, as we are reflecting on how He entered alone on His own merit because of His righteousness, this gate, kasama tayo. Those who believe in Him. Those who believe in Him. What do we see here? Our God is a prayer-answering God. He heard the prayers of Israel, did He not? In the past, He heard the prayers of this writer. Diba? He heard the prayer of Jesus in Gethsemane and on the cross in the ultimate fulfillment and expression. Diba? And dramatization of this song. We see Him victoriously trusting the Lord even amidst difficulty and distress because He knows that God is His sure defense. You know what? God hears our prayers today. He hears the prayers of His righteous children today. Righteous because of the imputed righteousness of Jesus that is ours by faith in His perfect atoning work and glorious resurrection. And this leads us to the next section. In the fall of the section, verse 20 to 27 is messianic. Some would probably argue, why are we stretching this psalm? Why are we trying to look at the authorial intent and then try to apply this to Jesus? But we've seen already that this was in the heart of Jesus Christ. We've seen already that this was quoted numerous times in the Passion Week. But verse 22 to 27 shows us the messianic nature of this psalm. Look at verse 22 to 27. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our days. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. Here in this section, we would see the divine plan of salvation. That God would provide not a temporary salvation, but an eternal salvation. And though the deliverer would initially be rejected by men, he will be exalted by God. And that this was in perfect accord with God's eternal plan. Sabi dyan, the stone that the builders rejected, we are not certain kung ano ang dahilan ng writer, ba't sinulat niya to? Maybe some say, maybe it's purely prophetic because certainly this was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know that Israel many times in the history, many times in the past have been rejected by men, by nations, but have been vindicated by God. But I know it points directly to Jesus Christ. That even though he, Jesus, was rejected by men, he was exalted by God to be the chief cornerstone. The foundation of God's redemptive plan. Di ba nakita natin to kanina? When he was having a discourse with the religious leaders, Jesus applied this to himself, did he not? The apostles also applied this to Jesus. The rejection of the Messiah, the stone that the builders rejected, follows God's perfect redemptive plan. Tingnan niyo yung verse 23. This is the Lord's doing. Who did this? Men in their own accord, in their own sinful volition, did this. But it tells us it is the Lord's doing. It's so clear. This is the Lord's doing. And it is so wonderful, di ba? How did that mean for God? Paving the way? Declaring the ends from the very beginning? In history past? In eternity past? The triune head, triune God, has mapped it all out. And that includes the incarnation, the perfect life, the suffering, the rejection of Jesus to be the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. Make no mistake about that. Verse 24, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Pause tayo sandali. May kanta to, di ba? At times, sang sa wedding. Kinanta yata sa wedding namin to ni Rita. I'm not sure. O pinapakanta sa akin. But I can't sing. Baka umiyak lang ako. Kinakanta ng mga bata. Right? But it's not about a day, any day in particular. Again, we refer to this at times for during weddings or a lively tune to be sang by Sunday schoolers. But this is not talking about any other day. It's talking about a particular, specific day. It is pointing to the day when the stone who was crucified was rejected to be exalted, to be the chief cornerstone, to be the foundation of our salvation, which is clearly God's doing. It is pointing to not any day. Hindi ito kanta para lang i-bless ang araw na ito. It's pointing to a specific day. It's pointing to the day that we are remembering today as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. is pointing to the day that Jesus was sacrificed. That special day. That very day. And we ought to rejoice and be glad in that. Diba? Iba na ngayon ang perspective na sa kanta. This is the day that the Lord... what day? The day when the stone was rejected to be the chief cornerstone. Again, dear ones, it's just so staggering as we look at this, looking at the perspective of God. Save us, verse 25, we pray, is a prayer for salvation. Verse 26 is the answer to that prayer. And again, pointing to the Messiah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Remember, this was quoted by Jesus. This was chanted by the people. It is through this Messiah who would be rejected and would be exalted to be the chief cornerstone, that verse 27, it is through this Messiah that God has given the light of salvation to shine upon us. And it's through this Messiah, bind the festal sacrifice with cords, that all sacrificial offerings and festivals would be fulfilled in Christ. So let me encourage you. Jesus is the fulfillment of all the offerings, all the sacrifices, all the festivals, and everything that the old covenant stood for. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one we remember today. How fitting it is to end this song with a strong doxology from the writer, from the Lord Jesus Christ, and hopefully from us. Look at verse 28, 27. You are my God. I pray that He is your God. And I will give thanks to you. You are my God. I will celebrate you. I will extol you. And then that call, give thanks. See that word, oh? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Why? For His steadfast love endures forever. This is the final hymn that Jesus sang in that Passion Week. How then should we respond to this beautiful, beautiful song, this beautiful truth that indeed it is blessed to trust in Him, ever regardless of the situation? Praise. Praise. The song started with a call to worship. The song ends with a strong doxology. A beautiful ending for the writer. Beautiful ending. Glorious ending for Jesus Christ as He sits now on the right hand of the Father. Beautiful ending for you and me. Because kahit anong mangyari sa mundong ito, if you trust the Lord and not in men, if you trust the Lord, not even in mighty men, you would be certain that He will defend you, He will protect you, and if it's in accordance to His sovereignty and providence that we perish, sandali lang yan. It would pale into comparison when we see Him face to face. And this ends this beautiful collection of songs, the Egyptian Anthem. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for what we have discussed, what we have learned. Oh Lord, we are merely scratching the surface. We could glean so much more, but for now, Lord, this is enough, more than enough, Lord, for us to thank You, for us to praise You, for us to honor You, for us, Lord, to keep on keeping on ever regardless of the situation. Because we know that as we trust You, as this writer trusted You, as the Lord Jesus entrusted Himself unto You, we would be certain that you would be our sure defense, giving us delight, giving us salvation, naturally flowing from our hearts, praise, honor, and thanksgiving. Praise you, O Lord Jesus Christ. Praise you, praise you, praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you.